Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall. Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Coming up in about 12 minutes, we'll get to Josh Briscoe, your Chiefs pre- and post-game host. He was up into the wee hours of the night. I wonder if he caught the end of that World Series game last night.
I'm just
night.
Looking at it right now from the World Series. Last night, obviously, the longest World Series game in history with 18 innings. Not the longest in time. That came in 2018, Boston, L.A., 7 hours and 20 minutes for 18 innings. Last night, 6 hours, 39 minutes, 18 innings. Victory pitch clock.
Hell yeah.
And then the Royals had the fourth longest game in World Series history, 14 innings. Do you know which game that was by chance?
Nope.
It was the one where Alex Gordon hit the big home run, game one of the World Series against the Mets. That game lasted 5 hours and 9 minutes.
Damn. Good Lord.
Thank God the pitch clock is in baseball.
Seriously.
Right now. And real quick, before we talk to Josh Briscoe and some other stuff, the virtual measurement last night, I texted Mac this. You were at the game, and I've seen it at the game. It's the same thing. They show it on the scoreboard. Takes too long, man. In baseball, we get that pitch ball strike thing right away, like in seconds. The NFL is purposely taking long time so they can fit a commercial in there and sponsor that thing. I guarantee
they're also rigging it for the Chiefs.
Oh, okay. Was that the word last night?
Mm-hmm. Well, Warren Sharp, he had himself a tough night last night.
Oh, did he?
Man.
Yeah. Why? What happened with Warren?
Shameless.
Yeah, well, I'm paraphrasing here. Yeah. But basically what he said is, because when you watch the game on TV, that yellow line, that's not accurate.
Right. We know that. They tell us that, right?
Well, they said that it was 5 inches short. Giggity, from the line of game,
right?
According to VR. So when you put that into perspective, they're going off the VR of where the ball is put. Well, Warren Sharp's like, the VR is going off where the referees put the ball, so the referees can still have bad eyes and put it in the wrong spot, and VR will go off where they spotted it. Because everyone thought that was a first down,
right?
But VR said otherwise.
Okay, what am I? I don't understand.
That Warren
what he's
Sharp
trying to
is
say.
Saying that the refs spotted the ball bad. So wherever the refs spot the ball is where the VR takes the spot.
Yeah, of course.
So they could have spotted it further up where they thought he was actually down at, which would have been a first down.
Then they should have challenged it if they didn't like the spot,
exactly.
Right? I mean, like, you have that ability as a coach to challenge that
100%.
If you don't like the spot. So bite me on that one, Warren.
And then Sam Munson tried to fight Logan.
Who?
Sam Munson.
Semi-pro football out of focus guy?
Not anymore. That's why he got mad at Logan.
Oh,
he goes,
really?
Oh, the guy mad about the Pro Football Focus grade is the guy that works for Pro Football Focus. And then he says, I don't work for Pro Football Focus. And then Logan goes, anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, let's go.
Oh, I like that. I love the fact now that, I'm going to continue to pat myself on the back.
Logan Berra, baby.
Told you years ago this thing was a scam. And now they're sending out tweets to, like, proactively get in front of why their rankings are where they are. Like the one about Mahomes.
Yeah.
Gee, this is why we track turnover-worthy plays.
They're in their head, dude.
Oh, they are.
Everyone's
it's great.
Rent-free right now.
I mean, it's great. I told you years ago, semi-pro football out of focus. I'm like, what are these dorks doing? We need to rid nerds from sports. I'm going to continue to say that, and I will die on that hill. Nerds need to get out of sports. Go find something nerdy to do. Leave the sports to the sports. Because turnover-worthy plays is an arbitrary thing. You may think a play is a turnover-worthy play. I may not. And when you watch these games last night, and I know I'm a little biased in this, I thought both plays that they reviewed with McLaurin should not have counted. I am biased, but it also goes to show you the difference that people have in opinions on things.
Oh, those were catches.
I know they were, but I was nitpicking a little bit. I'm like, call it incomplete. You know,
that touchdown was close because it's like, did he have
Did he have possession of that final one? I'm surprised they reversed that one.
Yeah,
being as close as it was, right?
No, that one's fair.
And yeah, the second one he was hoping that he wasn't.
No, I get it.
But again, it's all about how you perceive things and you know how you determine whether or not a catch is made or a ball is spotted or where it is. And I will say this, it is impossible to officiate an NFL game and get everything right every single time. I'm watching that game last night. They're really good. The refs are really, really good at spotting the football in real time. It's unbelievable how good they are at spotting that ball in real time.
Somebody says, Bobby, cool it on the nerds being out of sports. If you do that, then Cody and Cole wouldn't have a job.
BBL take the stinky.
That's wonderful.
Come on now. Come on now.
Actually, we're not. but Bob, you want to hear how shameless Warren Sharp is?
Who does he work for again?
I don't know.
Semi-pro football out of focus.
He's got his own thing, I think. Yeah,
Sharp football.
Sharp football analysis.
I think he works for JT Tillery.
he's working for JT Tillery.
JT Tillery.
Warren Sharp used to be awesome. He used to have great analytics, great data. It was seriously great. A few years ago,
now
a guy
he's
that
a
I.
Sheep.
He is, dude. This guy sucks. This is his last half of. This is his last tweet.
Didn't he go live too?
I don't know. He was tweeting about the World Series, but his last tweet, he's tweeting the whole football game, his last tweet during the Chiefs game at half. Marcus Mariota.
At half.
Didn't tweet the second half. Marcus Mariota, first half, 14 of 17, 155, 9.1 yards attempt, one touchdown, one interception. Patrick Mahomes, first half, 8 of 15, 89 yards, 5.9 yards per attempt, zero touchdowns, two interceptions.
Patrick Mahomes completed 90% of his passes in the second half, 200 and some yards and three touchdowns.
Well, I think he missed the most important part of what Max Brandt was there. He didn't tweet again in the second half.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's crazy.
Crickets from you, buddy.
He didn't need the wind.
I mean, you run a website called Sharp Football, and you're out there tweeting about the World Series? Tells us what we need to know, right? Everything we need to know about that guy, and pretty much everybody on the national level. They hate the fact that we're out here winning football games again.
He's the first voice you hear 3 hours before kickoff and the first voice you hear after the final whistle.
Future Hall of Fame receiver, future Hall of Fame quarterback, being able to figure it out for the last half of the season.
Here's the new Chiefs Radio Network pregame and postgame show host, Josh Briscoe.
That's right. Josh Briscoe joining us now, your host of pre and post game on the Chiefs Radio Network. Briscoe, I got to ask. I didn't know that Logan was your understudy, so that was cool to find out last night. You got his back if Sam Munson comes to town and tries to throw hands on him?
I've got Logan's back no matter what. There are very few people in this world who I will not stand tall to defend Logan's good honor. And I actually like Sam too. I've chatted with him a few times over the years. But no, I mean, when it comes to blows, when somebody needs a sword, Logan has mine.
No doubt about it. Hey, last night looked like basically the Chiefs C game in the first half, and then immediately they found out they needed to get a couple A's on the midterm and the final to get back to the B plus range. Completely different story in a spooky season that we have. That was Jekyll and Hyde, if I'm not wrong.
No, you're not. I think that's a pretty fun comp of the bad first half of the semester and going, okay, all right, time to lock in. I gotta spend some time on some essays. I gotta study a little bit. And then the Chiefs did it in the second half. And I'm sure you guys have drawn these parallels because you don't need to have a very long memory to just go back to these last 3 weeks before this game. And you have perfect examples of what it looks like when they either start slow or have that messy kind of middle eight and then do rebound or don't rebound against the Jags. We saw them do that against Washington. The Lions and Raiders games were just high octane, double dip, before and after half, everything rolling the way you want offensively. The Jags game, they couldn't quite pull it out. Commanders game, Jekyll and Hyde, I really like that as well. It was really, really nice to see them do that, to have one of those kind of annoying, kind of frustrating starts, and then still absolutely put that thing away, essentially through the third quarter.
Talking with Josh Briscoe here on 96.5 The Fan. And, you know, watching this game last night, I think we finally now truly know what the script is for the Chiefs. They're going to struggle on that first drive defensively. I think we just all need to accept that, right? The team is going to move the ball down the field, probably not get into the end zone, may kick a field goal, but they're going to give that offense the opportunity to kind of run their first 15. It's almost like Steve Spagnuolo goes into the game and goes, all right, we know you got 15 plays. Go run them all right now on this first drive. And then show us what you got for the final, you know, 3.5 quarters or whatever it is. Because every first drive, these teams just kind of move down the field and do what they want. And then after that, it is shutdown city for this team.
Like you said, I think at this point, we just kind of have to accept that it's a bit of a fact-finding mission for Spags. It's something that I talked about the moment of with my producer, Nick Springer, during the post, or, you know, during the game, right as it was happening yesterday. We had that frustration of like, oh, great, here we go again. It's going to be one of those drives. It's like, well, I don't know. Let's see where they go after that first 15 and after Spags is able to kind of recalibrate to whatever they're doing there. If that was something we saw once or twice a year, I might be inclined to say like, I don't, you know, sometimes you just get got early on, and sometimes the other team's game plan just gets you for a little while. But it seems like we see that with Spags against almost any competent offense, that yes, they're going to be able to have a few of those plays. And think back to Leo Chanel's pick weeks ago. If you have one of those drives that looks good early and then you can take the ball away before they can score, which is what happened against the Ravens on that particular drive. It's what happened against Washington both times in the first quarter. First three possessions for them, really. If you're able to turn them away at the very end, that gets called bend, don't break. Mm-hmm. I think with Spags, I think it's even more than that. I think it is calibrating to what this opposing offense is going to do.
When you look at this team last night, I'm sure your pants were as tight as mine when you got to finally see Isaiah Bajaya go outside the tackle and see how dynamic he can be instead of just running him right up the middle, the B gap, the A gap, whatever it is. But to see him go outside the tackle and just go completely downhill, by God, that's nice to see.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess erotic is on the table. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see a good running game in Kansas City. We all grew up on that in some form or another. And I really do think we've seen a few of those. It seems like, by the way, I know it's a side note, no one seems worried about Isaiah Pacheco. We saw it on the broadcast. Yeah. They were like, okay, are all of your ligaments in here? And they kind of wiggled his knee around a little bit. Yeah. And then he got up and wanted to fight a staff member. Not literally fight, in case anybody missed it. Like, he was just excited.
It was fun, yeah.
His knee was fine, yeah. Isaiah Pacheco's got to be one of the five funniest players in football. And that I don't think that was true in week one or week two or week three, where you go, oh, you know what? There's a little bit of that juice back. I mean, momentum covers so many things that we talk about, and it can mean so many things. But to your point, Dusty, having Pacheco get into a little bit of a rhythm that way, where he does get some under center runs as well, where you just see him with that full head of steam running through people, it's not always going to be super efficient. He's not going to have incredible vision or, the 2-3 cuts to make a defender miss, but that's not what he needs to be asked to do. So a few games in a row where it feels like he just kind of getting back into the swing of things, and then having by any standard just a solid game against Washington, I really do think is really, really nice. I'd already been team defensive line over running back for the trade deadline anyway, but I think Pacheco kind of resetting his floor a little bit after the rough start to the season, and Kareem Hunt is like a one-man tush push at this point. I think that we are seeing competence out of the running backs there when you have a passing game that is as deep as this Chiefs unit is.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. That's why you don't go and, you know, waste those draft picks, and that's why they were never going to really waste the draft picks on a running back, because they knew what they were getting back with Rashee Rice, and nobody wanted to hear that the first couple weeks of the season. Just wait till Rice comes back. Just wait till, oh, how much different? Oh my God, he's made a huge difference. And again, like he's doing things that even, you know, the most astute of football people wouldn't even expect him to be able to do. The offense is completely different with Rashee Rice in there, and the running game is really benefiting because of it.
And for Andy Reid, you know, all of these short passing things that we see throughout this offense over the years that we saw in Philadelphia, you always hear them talk about that being an extension of the running game. And like, this is a day where Breshard Smith's best play didn't count because of a penalty elsewhere.
Right.
And obviously he didn't end up with very impressive stat lines throughout the game, but that's going to be another element of this too. And I think I was right there with you at the beginning of the season where it's hard to be patient. It's hard to say, hey, wait till this number one weapon comes back. And especially early in the year when you don't have Xavier Worthy out there either. I mean, the selling point of this wide receiver room was, man, look how deep it is from one through maybe seven. You know, like Jalen Royals was a healthy scratch yesterday, and that's fine because right. they have professional NFL receivers ahead of him, and some of these guys won't be around next year, and then you'll see where Royals gets involved. I'm not worried about him because I think he's about 2026 for the most part, as long as special teams gets handled in 2025 here. But when you have those guys healthy and on the field together, you just have all of those options. Yep. And again, the gravity of those players. Xavier Worthy can have the gravitational pull of a deep threat or all that speed that defenses have to adjust for. Well, now Rashee Rice is able to not be, he's still going to get most of the attention from the defense, but who was getting the attention before Rashee Rice came back? They were still keying on Travis Kelce, who yesterday nearly picks up a 100-yard game and has a couple of monster plays and a huge day for him. That's just going to be how it goes for defenses around the league now. You're going to have to pick your poison every week, and the Chiefs have several forms of poison.
Yeah, I'm glad that you brought up Rice and Kelce, because maybe it's a dumb question. A lot of teachers told me in my life there's no such thing as a dumb question, but there clearly is. Whose game elevates more with the presence of Rashee Rice on the field? Is it Mahomes or Kelce?
That's kind of a fun question. I mean, obviously they're hand in hand, which, you know, if I was your teacher, that's how I'd frame it. I do think it still ends up being Mahomes because of the mental load of what it has to mean for him. Because again, something we talk about early in the season when there was nothing easy for this offense, which is, hey, can you find an easy button here? I think Kelce, obviously his life gets easier as well because again, he's not being keyed in exclusively all week. And I think that's going to keep evolving as the season goes on. I stayed up to watch baseball. I have not run back the tape of Monday Night Football yet. I don't even like baseball that much. I don't know what happened.
You
I
do just when it's weird.
History. I do. That's yes. God. You're so right. When it's weird and it's 2 in the morning, I really in the World Series. I do care about baseball. It's still in my heart. All that to say, I haven't gone back to like see exactly how Washington was keying in with a week of film of Rashee Rice out there in this version of the Chiefs offense. But when you do, I think as the season goes on, see more and more teams realize, well, if we don't slow down Rashee Rice, we are going to lose this game by knife cuts. It might be 5 yards per attempt. It might be 10 yards per attempt, but we're just not going to be able to win the game this way. It's a more fun, more explosive version of last year's offense on some level, right? Of just, hey, we're going to just go Rashee Rice instead of Kareem Hunt 15 times. And then you hope you get in the end zone. If you're suddenly making Rashee Rice your number one priority as a defense, somebody else is not getting nearly enough attention for their talent level. And then that either gives Mahomes, back to your original question, Dusty, Mahomes can just find Rashee Rice and on these screens and these quick slants, that's a low effort play from Mahomes in terms of having to spin every single plate all at once, which he's incredible at doing, but you'd like for him to not have to do that 40 or 50 times a game. To have that load off of his shoulders and have it open everything up for everybody else is really just an incredible factor for this offense.
All right, we're moving forward now. It's Buffalo week, short week, which I think is good for this game. You know, I'm excited that it is kind of a short week. I know the coaches have been probably preparing for this one since they put this game plan to bed over the weekend and getting ready for Buffalo. And I'm sure they took nothing away from that 40-3 win over Carolina because that was just, I mean, what do you take from that type of thing? But this is it, man. We're here. The season, as Dusty's been saying all morning, officially begins this week. It's Chiefs, it's Buffalo, it's go time.
And it's really a remarkably similar place for both of these teams where they stand right now,
yeah.
Despite the fact that the season started incredibly, incredibly different. Remember, the Bills were 4-0, and they had the entire AFC in front of them. They lose to a Patriots team that is like clearly legitimate on some level, right? I don't know if they're a Super Bowl team, but they're a playoff team. And then I don't remember how the Bills lost to the Falcons. I can't remember what happened there. That whole game is static. I see the final score. Mm-hmm. I'm confused. I'm scared looking at it. All that to say, both of these teams have a little bit to prove. And really, the only thing that you can take away from Bills-Panthers is that Ed Oliver is not playing
yes.
this week. That is a massive, massive loss for a Bills defense that I think has a little bit in common with the Chiefs that way, where you can find some of the thin spots across this team altogether, and that's everybody. No one has an utter wagon here other than, I guess, the Colts, who appear to be a well-rounded team. They've had their share of injuries as well, obviously. But this is massive for both of these teams, where if the Chiefs win this game, it is going to be another installment of whatever voodoo that the Chiefs have over the Buffalo Bills, and just going, man, good luck. If we see you again in January, one team is going to believe they're winning this game, and one team's going to believe they're losing this game. If the Bills defend home field and they're able to get past the Chiefs, and the Chiefs fall another step down in the AFC, another step down in the division, I would obviously be bummed by that. I hope this is a Chiefs win, and right now I think they're in a very, very good place to make it happen. But I think until the Bills, I guess what, break serve, I feel like the pressure's going to be on them against the Chiefs more often than not.
Let's take it back to childhood, Briscoe, because I'm sure coming from the same area that we grew up in, being Chiefs fans as kids and watching Priest Holmes do his thing all those years, and just now, Travis Kelce ties Priest Holmes for most touchdowns in franchise history. To think that Priest Holmes racked up 83 touchdowns in just about 3 years, and Travis Kelce, 13-year career, now he is tied for the franchise lead in touchdowns.
It's awesome, and it's two incredible players to have, you know, currently sharing that as we wait for Kelce to take it himself. I was thinking about that last night, because my first Chiefs game that I attended as a very young one was the Priest Holmes single season rushing touchdown record against the Chicago Bears. It was late December. I think it was probably week 17. I know I could find the box score somewhere, but that game and Priest Holmes was such a defining factor of my football fandom at that age. And then I will take every opportunity to talk about Jamal Charles, because mm-hmm. I love Priest Holmes, and I think Jamal Charles is one of the most special players who's ever played, and obviously the injury history cut that a little bit short for what his impact could be. But I could not have been happier to hear Mitch nail that call last night and tying Travis Kelce and Priest Holmes together in one more way as two unbelievable forces in two different eras of Chiefs football.
Well, it's, you know, fortunate enough for me to cover every day of Priest Holmes from the day he was brought into Kansas City to the day he left. I was there for practices and everything. And thinking about it over the years, he's a Hall of Famer. His numbers are the same as Terrell Davis. He dominated that period of time. The fact that it took Travis Kelce 13 years to do something he essentially did in 3 years, Priest Holmes is not getting the credit that he deserves as an all-time great in Kansas City. And one thing will sum up Priest Holmes for me with his entire career, and it was one day where he was taking every ball to the end zone. I'm like, God, every single play he's running it into the end zone. And I said to Dick Vermeil after practice, I go, he's taking, you know, every play to the end zone. Every play in practice is going to the end zone. And he said this line to me, and I'll never forget it. He does what he does because he does what he does. And he was talking about his performance on the field is because of the way that he prepares and the way that he is in practice and the way that he goes about his business. It is a travesty that Priest Holmes is not in the Professional Football Hall of Fame. And we need to get that guy in there, because those 3 years are the best 3 years of an offensive player individually that I've ever seen.
That's a great story. It's funny. I'm going to keep talking about the running backs, but that also, I have to imagine there's some stories like that for Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
You hear the stories of what he's like during practice and to be able to have the career that he's had. Look, hey, if you want to try to get like a combo ballot here, I'd love to get Jamal Charles on there as well. I feel really strongly about him in that very same conversation, where I understand the longevity wasn't the same for Charles that it was for some of the other backs who have made it in. And like, frankly, I'll put Frank Gore in as well. Mm-hmm. I totally different side, right? Of just like, you call him a compiler or whatever. Frank Gore was like a incredible starting caliber running back in the NFL for 100 years. That's a Hall of Famer to me. Jamal Charles, I think, is perhaps, there are lots of good arguments, but Jamal Charles to me might be the most special runner I've seen in this era of football. Priest Holmes was a force of nature. And I know he had the benefit of one of the best offensive lines ever assembled in front of him in Kansas City, but It's still a team sport. I don't really like to isolate for that if I don't have to, because you can acknowledge a situation is good and that a guy still carried the best of this offense. And again, was just a human touchdown. I it's funny to think about him taking every handoff to the end zone, because it, for a while there in 2002 and 2003, it felt like that's what he was doing. I just, really, we're never going to see anything like that again because running backs don't play that way. And the length of their careers hopefully benefits by having a little bit more of a steady hand in terms of how they end up getting used. But no, you will hear nothing but love for me, for Priest Holmes, for Jamaal Charles, for the offensive lines that they ran behind. Priest had the best and Charles made the most of what he had, but two incredibly, incredibly special and important players in Chiefs history. And again, now to be talking about Priest and Travis Kelce hand in hand, I just think rules. I think they very, very much deserve a little Tuesday morning.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Remembrance.
Well, enjoy that rewatch of Monday night's game and enjoy that lengthy nap on a Tuesday with wonderful nap weather out
nap
there.
Perfect nap weather.
So we appreciate it, man.
It's perfect nap weather. My schedule is not a perfect nap schedule. I don't know when that's happening. I might just go to bed at like 6 o'clock tonight.
Nothing perfect. Wrong. There's nothing wrong with that.
It'll be dark then too, so there's nothing wrong there either.
Thanks, fellas.
Yeah, dude. No problem. That's Josh Briscoe, host of the pre and post game on the Chiefs Radio Network.
What time did your light go on last night? Oh, you were at the game. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I know it was still on when I left.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We know there's a lot that can go on during one night of baseball. Long home runs, epic pitching performances, catches that defy space, time, and gravity.
Climbing the wall! Did he catch it?
But what if you could get all of that summarized in a quick, concise, and at least we think, funny podcast that's under 10 minutes? Check out MLB.com's Morning Lineup. It runs Monday through Friday mornings on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you love listening most.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.